Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hang on, Paula.
Sure.
Host Merle Exit. Oh yes, it's a nice good morning here, but it's cloudy, raining. Yeah, I'm in Queens. People ask me if I'm from Queens. I say no, my folks are straight. Well, Queens is actually going to be this a little bit of the center of this because Queens Theater in the Park. I'm sorry, it's now called Queens Theater. Will be having one of the top comedians in the country. That's who we have on the air today. Hello, Paula. How are you? Paula Poundstone.
Hey, good. How are you?
Okay. So, boy, it's early in the morning for you, isn't it?
It is.
But that's okay, right?
It's okay. That's what I do.
Your brain operates on comedy no matter what time, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I understand. By the way, did you start thinking about comedy since kindergarten? Is that why I see something about the thank your kindergarten teacher?
The first sentence of the last paragraph, written by my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Bump, in the summary letter she wrote of my, which they wrote in lieu of a report card in kindergarten. She said in the first sentence of the last paragraph, I have enjoyed many of Paula's humorous comments about our activities. I'm so grateful to Mrs. Bump for recognizing something that she liked about me, as opposed to Miss Carter from first grade, who said that I was subject to emotional outbursts and needed tutored in handwriting.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Downhill from kindergarten.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, precipitously.
What point did you decide that you wanted to be a comedian? Like at what age?
I'd wanted to be a comic performer really for most of my life. I didn't know what path to take to get there, and therefore I don't think it's what I thought I would do. There were years where it was what I thought I would do, and then. I don't know, really for the longest time I thought that I might work my way up to manager of the restaurant that I was bussing tables at. But the truth is, I wouldn't have been a good manager, and yet I have a gift for bussing tables. I'm really good at table bussing. But then I happened to live in Boston, and in 1979, I went to a club that had the manager of the restaurant. I went to see her friend's band play, and there was a flyer up on the wall for a stand-up comedy show that I went to the following weekend, and it was pretty bad, but it was great, and I started working on my goofy 5 minutes and got to do open mic nights and which is, you know, kind of the college of a stand-up comic. And next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
Well, that's good to hear. Where do you derive your sense of humor? Like what makes you laugh?
Oh, I have a wide variety of things that make me laugh. I enjoy the very silly. And you know, and I enjoy my favorite comics are Bob and Ray, the old radio comic team, probably, and tons in between. I Lily Tomlin is a national treasure. I love listening to Garrison Keillor. I don't know. My son makes me laugh sometimes.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I understand.
Sometimes that, just directly at him, honestly.
Oh, really? You mean the things he does?
Oh, my God. Sometimes. He still does. You know, he's 13 years old, and he tries to use a big font to make it look like he's written more. As if nobody ever, you know, as if this would really fool somebody, you know?
In other words, when he's writing something and you think as if the bigger the letters and it looks, you try to get away with less words?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah, I think that's why, yeah, your kids give you a lot of humor, huh?
Yeah. He's a diabolical genius. He could be a villain on the old Underdog show.
Do you find you what other kind of does the things like that are stupid out there like get your goat to get?
I don't know, here and there. I on stage I like talking about a wide variety of things. I talk about raising a house full of kids and animals. I talk about trying to keep up with the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote. I sometimes talk about Abraham Lincoln, and I sometimes talk about the Hardy Boys, but of course only where appropriate. My very favorite part of the night is I love talking to the audience. I do the time honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies kind of emerge. And I don't know, it generally tells me what to say next.
And what you have cats? Is that what you have?
I have 16 cats.
You're kidding. Wow.
No, yeah, I know. I have a callus on my hand from sifting litter boxes.
No shit.
Yeah. 16 cats. I have a German Shepherd mix dog and a full-grown dog and a German Shepherd mixed puppy, and a bearded dragon lizard, a lop-eared bunny, and one ant left from my ant farm.
Wow.
Try to keep ants alive.
Oh, goodness. I know cats can be quite funny.
You know, it's like having a movie constantly. I could do with a little less cat pee, honestly, but, you know, it comes with the territory.
That's good to know. So now you're touring.
I'm on a constant tour. It never ends. It's the it'll be the death of me tour. You know, it's not the kind that would be on the back of a sweatshirt, although I would love that. I generally go out a couple nights a week. Usually once. It's usually Friday, Saturday. Sometimes it's you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but then there's the occasional week where I don't go out at all. But generally, it's a couple nights a week.
Oh, that's good. It keeps you busy and gets paid at the same time.
That's a good thing. And I have a huge small shampoo collection.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of perks to my job. A lot of perks. One of them is when you go to the hotel, you know, you get those little teeny shampoos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is that helpful to have.
Did you do, like, a lot of showcasing before you really got working? The old show routine.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first couple of years, I mean, the truth is you kind of have to, because there's not a lot there otherwise. Showcasing or open mic nights where anybody who wants to can go up for 5 minutes and tell their little jokes. I still, in fact, I wish that it were convenient for me to do open mic nights. I'd still do them.
I mean, like to try out your material, you mean?
Yeah, it's you know, just it was a you know, I used to go up on these nights where there was, you know, 30 people that, you know, went up in a row, and it was a good way of figuring things out. Not to mention that there was a lot of camaraderie, and it was fun to hang out with the other comics. But it was also just that, you know, it was a really good way to figure out what you're doing.
But then, of course, then there's a situation where the people coming in, they pay to see you and you don't get paid.
Yeah, sometimes that would occur. But, you know, I don't know where all the money went in the very, very beginning. When I first started, though, you know, clubs were just, there was a resurgence in stand-up comedy, in audience interest in stand-up comedy, and it was slow going too. I mean, we didn't necessarily, the venues that I worked in didn't have tons and tons of seats, and I think mostly people got in for free and then they had to pay for their drinks kind of thing. So I mean, I can remember working in Boston, we would do these shows where there was, you know, four or five stand-up comics plus the MC, you know, and they would charge, I don't know, $6, and we each got five or something like that.
Yeah, sometimes it was that.
Five or ten. I mean, and at that time, I got to say, $10 was a bountiful windfall.
Yeah, that's. But they don't do that with any other business. That's the only business that take advantage of entertainers. Is entertainers. I mean, you can't. Nobody who's a plumber. I mean, they don't have to showcase. Have to come to
no, they
house.
Don't. But they do have to go to. But they do have to apprentice or go to some kind of training. I mean, you have to learn how to be a stand-up comic, just like you learn how to do anything else. And so, to just sort of throw somebody's name up on the bill and go, "Yeah, this is going to be a great night of entertainment," would be false at best. So. Yeah, you kind of pay your dues for a while. You kind of figure it out for a while. I mean, if anything, I really think I started getting paid pretty early on. I was pretty bad.
Oh, that's good if you started early on and got paid, you know?
Yeah,
So I understand you have a CD out?
I do. I have a CD. It's called I Heart Jokes, Paula Tells Them in Maine.
Why did you pick Portland? Is that where you would be?
Actually, it was Brownsfield, Maine, and the place had a great system for. I mean, they had a great sound system and a great sound engineer, and it was very easy to do. I mean, all I really had to do was tell my little jokes, we used the sound engineer from that place, and he did a terrific job. And then there was the editing process, but even that I didn't do the majority of the work on. I only did a little bit.
Was that the only place that you've did a recording of a live performance?
That's the only place I did a CD kind of thing. I mean, I've done HBO specials before where it was filmed, but I hope to do another one. It was so easy to do. I think I thought it required more of me than it actually did. So it was a fun thing to do, and people seem to have enjoyed it. So hopefully sometime in the not too distant future, we'll do another one.
Yeah, why not? And also, you got a book too.
I do. I have a book called "There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say," and it took me 9 years to write because I'm a little bit slow. Yeah, My book is, I happen to have an OCD, which everybody has. It's only diagnosed based on the degree to which it interrupts your life. One of the ways it manifests itself in me is that I can't stop talking to save my life. Everything that gets said reminds me of something that I feel that I must say. And therefore, my book, which is kind of a nod to the fact of my OCD, my book is a series of biographies of towering historic figures. And in the telling of their story, I tell my own. So as I'm telling this, you know, talking about Abraham Lincoln, anything that reminded me of something about my own life, I just stopped and told. For example, his mother dies died of milk disease, and you know when I got to that part, all I could think was my mother had a headache for a really long time, and so I just jumped off and told about that, and then I could get back onto Lincoln. The parallels between me and Lincoln were many. Obviously, I've never emancipated slaves, but I do when I have a babysitter try to come home early. So the similarities were just all over the place.
So that's what the book goes into several people of who you connected with.
Yes, my book it's a series of biographies of towering historic figures. I do Charles Dickens. I do Sitting Bull. Beethoven, the Wright brothers.
What do you have in common with Beethoven?
What don't I have in common with Beethoven? Let me think. My daughter took piano lessons for a little while. She had to quit because she didn't practice. I when I would tell her to practice, she would tell me she didn't like to. And I would say, well, then why are you taking piano? And she would say, because I like to play. I just don't like to practice. And I would say, well, then I guess what? You can play for about 20 minutes. And by the way, use this music the teacher sent. It's really always hard for me to understand the difference between playing and practicing.
Uh-huh. Did you ever try taking up the piano?
I did play the piano when I was little. Well, play is a too strong a term. I took what was called pre-piano lessons when I was very little, which was where it was taught by Mrs. Kopp, it was where me and a bunch of other little kids whose parents were also silly enough to put us in pre-piano. We marched around a coffee table in Mrs. Kopp's house, and I remember playing a percussion instrument that was a Quaker Oats container.
Yeah, good enough, right?
I don't know how much my parents paid for pre-piano, but I think whatever they paid, it was too much.
Doesn't interest you now, huh?
No, I've lost my interest in pre-piano. I can't remember. I mean, I really do think we never did anything remotely related to the piano. It was called pre-piano. I think we would longingly look at the piano bench and think of someday sitting down.
I guess that's good. Good, it'd be pre-piano, right?
Oh. Yeah, pre-piano.
Yeah.
Genius.
So I also understand you did you were in P-Town.
Oh, many times over the years. I usually get to perform there about once a year, and I've done it many, many times. It's a great venue, great place. It's a lot of fun over the summer.
You know, that's with Thanksgiving being tomorrow. You know that the connection, right? You know that they the pilgrims landed there first.
It was the first place they landed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you think about it, then they got back on this stinky, bilge-filled boat to go someplace else. I can't even imagine how much they didn't like Provincetown.
I know. I mean, we know what it looks like now. I have a feeling it probably didn't look as nice back then.
No. My theory was they were homophobes right from the start.
Yeah, that's
they got off, they saw all the gays, and they said, forget it, and they got right back on the boat.
Yeah. Have you ever tried climbing the monument? That's, you know, that's the tallest erection in the States, I think.
No, I have not. I didn't even, I come to think of it, I don't think I've ever even seen the Provincetown Monument. I don't do a lot of sightseeing when I'm there. I pretty much am in and out.
Oh, okay.
Which is how I do every place that I go to. I generally fly in with enough time to grab some dinner, have a quick nap, get a shower, go tell my jokes, and then I'm done. And so I'm not much of a tourist most of the time.
Oh, especially Provincetown, there's so much to see.
It's true. There, sometimes I've done two nights, and therefore I wander around a little teeny bit on one of the days, but just not a lot, because the other thing is I'm exhausted most of the time, and therefore, I don't make it very far from the hotel.
Is this going to be the first time you're performing in Queens?
It is. I'm looking forward to it.
You haven't seen the theater yet, have you?
No.
Oh, you'll be impressed. It's really nice.
Oh, great.
So
I'm looking forward to it more.
So you're going to do like a 7 o'clock and then a 9 o'clock show.
I think so. I just heard of this yesterday. But that'll be fun. That'll be good.
How long is the show?
Well, if I do a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show, then it's probably about an hour and 45.
Okay. We'll have to throw the people out.
Those 7 o'clock people. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll just tip the whole building right up sideways.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll be there at the 9 o'clock show to see you.
You'll come to the adult show.
There's
a 7 o'clock show, for heaven's sake. It'll still be light out. Are they coming in their jammies?
That's why I picked the 9 o'clock show. I said, if she's gonna say words like shit and fuck, she ain't gonna say it at 7 o'clock. She'll do it in 9 o'clock.
I don't need a time for those words. I express myself fully at any given hour.
That's okay. I don't think. I think for people who are actually, it'll be quite interesting because you have your the group of people that get a subscription. That I notice when I go to see the shows there.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll be quite interesting to see that.
Yeah,
I remember going to a show, and I don't remember the play, but the play was about lesbians, and you had to see these people in the audience. I'm thinking, they just got what this is about. And
because they were the subscription members.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually would be, they usually go to a night of La Boheme, and now.
Yeah, well, but you'll like the place. Are you gonna tape the show while you're there?
I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, tape the, at least, why not? Tape it.
I may just bring in a sketch artist.
That
would be good too.
Yeah, you can tell the audience. I'm sorry, you'll have to do this very slowly. We couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
I
can't move right now. I have to pose.
Right.
Be right with you, but I'm having this night sketched. All right, now I'm gonna have to go.
Okay,
because
so.
I have another one. It's a full morning of press conference.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah,
so are you going to come out and meet the audience like after the show?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you'll have time in between the two shows, but at least.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. We'll work it out. I'm sure I'll be able to do both.
Yeah, but I'll get to see you.
All right. Anyway. Well, that's the important thing.
Yeah. All right. All right, Paula. It's great talking with you. And
it was nice talking with you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Yes, that was Paula Poundstone, yes. And, well, Queen's Theater in the Park is, I'm sorry, Queen's Theater is really doing a lot of stuff now. And matter of fact, at some point I will have somebody from the theater talk about their upcoming events, shows, et cetera. And, oh, you know, wait a minute before I, you know, I have to, where is my, my commercial here? Now, I have so many things up on here. Here we are. Oh, yes. It's going to make me hungry. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. And yes, you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. It's a great idea for holiday gifts. Yes, certainly, especially when they have the ones that are the truffles enrobed in the dark chocolate. Okay, so now I'm getting a little hungry. So, well, I will, I, you know, I'd love to play songs. And since, well, okay, I'm going to do myself a favor and just, and have something to eat and, till next show, which I don't know what I'll do next. I got to make my list, check it twice. But until next time, have a great day, evening, or whatever you're enjoying.